Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is KF4TEK, activating the Flock Here Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Flock Here Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 hertz for access. Don't forget that 0.9. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website, w4va.org, or send an email to farinet@w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics, such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. I do not have a topic prepared for this evening, so what we're going to do is we're going to play a game of Stump the Chump. If you have a technical topic or question that you would like addressed or answered or discussed this evening, please call now.
N7IVV.
All right, N7IVV. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I thought I heard my name called there. I don't know if it was Stump or Chump, but I'm here. Oh, I was just thinking the last week or so, more of a question for everybody to share what the heck. I got plenty of those. But anyway, what was the last thing you built, or whether it's a kit or homebrew or whatever? It doesn't matter whether it was this week or last month or last year. What was the last little project that you put together?
WDAQCM.
All right, Brad, thank you very much for that topic. Does anybody else have a topic or technical question that they would like to bring forward? Please call now.
WD8QCN.
WD8QCN. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, 14K on the net. WD8QCN. Good evening, Mike. Yeah, I've got two stumpers I was mulling over here after talking to Rich and Ron earlier. Number one, propagation oddities. Heard a strong station. A couple miles to the east of me here, just over an FM 19 land, and on 17 meters the other night, his signal sounded very odd. You might say watery. My first thought was aurora, which is unusual for this part of the solar cycle and a little odd for 17 meters. But at the end of his transmissions, I was hearing about an eighth of a second of echo. So, wondered if you want to throw that out there and see if anybody can guess what it is. And second of all, have an antenna oddity. Let me buy some time. I've been working on antennas the last couple of days here. Just installed a remote antenna switch so I don't have to keep running outside to switch cables around. And installed some lower loss coax out to the switch here. And suddenly my entire SWR picture changed on everything. Put the old cables back, same thing. The only thing that's really changed is the total length of cable. So I think I know what's going on there too, but wanted to see if anybody else had an opinion. That's what I've got for you. Back to you, my KF4TEK, WD8QCN.
Okay, very good. Quick follow-up on your second oddity. Are those cables the same length, the new one and the old one?
The indoor cable is approximately the same length. The outdoor cable grew a little bit.
All right, very good. Okay, that sounds like enough topics for this evening. So if you have an idea for a topic or a question, please email it to farinet@w4va.org. So, announcements and upcoming events. I want to point out that coming up next weekend is the Hawaii QSO party, which sounds kind of cool. I don't think I've hit Hawaii yet, and it's an interesting spot on the map in terms of hops and propagation. So I'm going to see if I can't get my stuff together in time for Hawaii this coming weekend. I'll take your over-under on that later. Also, Kansas and Ohio having QSO parties starting the 28th. And of course, if you check out Contest Calendar or any other of your favorite amateur radio sport news outlets, you will find many more events occurring throughout the week. So check that out. Always something interesting going on. With that, does anyone else have any announcements or news that they would like to share with the net? Please call now. All right, very good. Well, with that, we will take a round of check-ins. I have taken the liberty of already checking in W8BT, N7IVV, WDAQCN. So if you would like to join us this evening, please call now.
K1HBUA.
Kilo 4, Bravo, Oscar, X-ray.
KN4, STL.
Neo.
KX4, KU.
AK4GG. WD7RAV.
Blue Hotel.
KO4LLC.
All right, stand by. We had a number of doubles in there, but I picked out some of you and not others. So listen carefully. I've got K1A4
Mike Alpha Fox.
KO4LUA.
Kilo 3 Foxtrot Romeo.
Whiskey 4 Mike Alpha Foxtrot. Whiskey 4 Mike Alpha Foxtrot via Echo Link.
Air 1 FSC Mobile.
Kilo Juliet 7 Alpha Papa Victor in and out.
All right, we picked up, I'm not sure where I left, confirmed, KO4LLC, KO4LUA, K3FR, W4MAF, KJ7APV, and a station with a really quick call ending in Sierra, Sierra, Charlie, please come again.
My daughter, KR1SSZ, that's Chris.
KR1SSZ Mobile.
All right, so I copied Kilo Romeo 1 Sierra Sierra Zulu, is that correct?
Correct, KR1SSZ Mobile, I'll be clear. I'm in Rockville, Maryland.
All right, so no comment from KR1SSZ, but making a great trip from Rockville, so that's awesome. Great job, good to hear you. Thanks for joining us, and drive safe. All right, we had, I believe, W4MAF, I believe, was on Echolink, so let's pick him up first. And just in case, so W4MAF, go ahead.
Hello, this is W4MAF Mike, currently in Mineral, Virginia on the highway, and thanks, because I know the signal was going to drop out at some point, so I'm glad I got to check in on the net tonight. Had a busy weekend harvesting some grapes. My wife likes to make wine as a hobby and likes to make me do a lot of work. She even took my truck with the grapes back to the house so that hey, made for a nice time listening to the Nets here. I am gearing up for Summits on the Air in Virginia. My season is when it's cold and I don't have to work on our property in Mineral, Virginia. So I'm looking forward to that and actually planning on working some of those Summits on the Air Virginia stations tomorrow from Chappahannock, Virginia. That's where work takes me out. I'm going to hopefully have a POTA, Parks on the Air activation myself while I'm at it. So that's about it. Hope everyone's doing well and have a good week. W4MAF, W4MAF Mike in Mineral, Virginia, 73, everyone.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Have a great evening. Drive safe, and thanks for joining us. All right, let's go to the top of our list. We'll start with Mr. Brad, N7IVV. How are you doing, sir?
F4DEK in the net, N7IVV. Doing well. Been busy fixing, upgrading, repairing, breaking, fixing, ordering new parts, installing. You know the deal. Answer to my own question, let's see, the last thing I built, I think, was just some little power distribution modules. Super poor man's version of rig runners that are, I think, frankly, a little bit too expensive for what they are. These are just some things that I picked up from a guy that manufactures kits, and they're just a little board with enough space on it to put 5 or 6 power pole outputs, and of course one input handles quite a bit of amperage, I think 25 or more amps. has a fuse on board and everything, and you know, it's only an inch and a quarter wide and 3 inches long or something like that. And anyway, they're very handy, easy solder project. Don't have to really test anything. Doesn't take any special equipment. So have no idea about the antenna question there, the antenna cable question. Of course, I was so I'm not quite sure what to offer there, but. Also, just a reminder, I will not be able to run the net next Wednesday. Not this coming Wednesday, but the following, September 2nd, I guess. So we need somebody to pony up to do that. If you can do it, please contact KS1PPY, who's now managing the nets. That's it. Back to net and 7IVB.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Brad. Yes, to amplify what Brad said, we're looking for help on the net control operator front. The more the merrier, and I don't know how to put this. Frankly, sometimes we get tired of running the net every week on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night. We're just looking for a little break, and I think that a little fresh blood would add interest to the nets as well. And you know, we have no claim to the mic, and we would welcome and encourage anybody who thinks that just writing down calls and saying hi to people would be even remotely interesting or fun to give it a shot. Contact Sippy, coordinating all of our net management stuff now, and I would sure appreciate your participation, and I know Brad would as well. So this is KF4TEK for the Far Sunday Night Net. And I think the last thing that I built was a reset switch for my Raspberry Pi. You short out two pins and it reboots without having to unplug it, and that's the last thing I built. I'll throw in my 2 cents on the other bits later, but right now I'm going to go over to WDAQCN. How you doing?
Mike, KF4TEK in the net, WDAQCN, doing well. In spite of the SWR follies here, I did manage to work a couple of new countries on FT8 today. 17 meters was pretty hot. Finally managed to work Korea, which has been a stretch. I can work Japan all night, but Korea, I almost never get to hear them. I see other people working them, but I don't hear them, but got them this time. Did manage to get that 17/12 meter fan dipole up a little higher, about 10 feet higher. I think that helped some. But moving that switch out there got weird. Oh, and what other projects have I built? Besides building cables and other weird things for this antenna project, an easy digi board to make my Baofeng speak packet. That's pretty much what I'm up to. Back to you, Mike. KF4TEK, WD8QCN.
All right, awesome. Well, congrats on Korea. That's pretty cool. With respect to your SWR issue, you know, there's a number of things that could be the answer. I mean, but I would throw two things on the table for your consideration. One, it's possible that your old coax was lossy and hiding the SWR situation from you just by absorbing enough power to throw off your readings on the inside. It's also possible that the additional length or reduction in length of the cable outside has changed the impedance presented at the end of the cable. The length of the cable will do that, so we may just be presenting a slightly different impedance to your rig based on the cable length. Or it's always possible that, you know, the switch has an issue or something else like that is going on. But, you know, those would be my guesses in order of likelihood. And thankfully, it's easy to test cable. You just got to bring it in and put both ends on a nano VNA or equivalent and see what it says. So give that a shot, see what the answer turns out to be. All right, W8BT Travis, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening, Mike, and all in the net. Thanks for running the net. This is W8BT. That's the last thing I built was probably assembling the four Ukrainian transverters that I have into a box and into a rotary switch to select between them. I guess the last thing I built. But, I also, it's been quite a while now, but did something similar to what Brad did. It's not actually more like a rig runner. It doesn't have fuses. I just bought a little 3D printed case that you can put, I guess there's six power poles. There's four in a row, and then there's one on each end. Actually, I'll send the link to Brad, because he could probably print them out as well, and I guess you have one as well, too. So, there's no fuses. I put a fuse on the incoming power, and but it at least supplies everything in the shack with the power from my Astron power supply. As to Steve's question, problems. I'm wondering I think the watery sounding signal on 17. I wonder, Rich will probably correct me, but I'm wondering if with the watery sound, if that wasn't some backscatter maybe being just far enough to where it wasn't ground wave, but not far enough for any skip. May have been some backscatter. And as to his SWR issues, I'm wondering if he perhaps the cable that he installed hit a quarter wavelength or half wavelength. I know at certain points along the coax you wind up basically seeing a short, and if you got close enough to that that distance, you could simply use the nano VNA to just check the coax. But again, the switch could also be an issue too. So anyway, I haven't really done much on the radio in quite a while. I've been not very radioactive, so I guess that's about it from here. Everybody have a great weekend, or rest of the weekend. W8BT, back to net.
All right, Travis, thanks, and same to you. Have a great weekend. Speaking of radioactive, that reminds me, I did assemble an electronics gold mine Geiger counter board a couple of weeks ago, and that's kind of fun. Didn't take much, so I don't know if it's really a project, but it works and it ticks, and that's the important part. Well, the important part is it doesn't tick too much. Hi. All right, this is KF4TK for the FARA Sunday Night Net, and we're moving up to Rich, K1HTV. How are you doing tonight, Rich?
Hi, KF4TK in the net, K1HTV. Good evening to all. Good evening to the new hams that may be listening and don't have their licenses yet. There was an exam Saturday, and also some got upgraded, and one of them is on the net, and I'm sure he'll tell you about it. So congrats to the new hams and the upgraded hams. Regarding the topic of the coax cables, what Mike says is true, but only if, well, let's put it this way. If your antenna is a 50-ohm antenna, no matter how long it is, it'll always be 50 ohms at any point on that piece of coax. From right at the antenna to the very end or anywhere in between, it'll be 50 ohms. You run into a problem of impedance transformation. In other words, it's no longer 50 ohms. If the antenna starts off as being a plus or minus, a higher or lower than 50 ohms, it's possible with an antenna, a 100-ohm antenna, you can find a spot on the coax that will be 50 ohms. You'll find one that'll be 100 ohms. You'll find one, it'll vary in between. So the one way to find that out is, the hard way is going right up to the antenna, putting the VNA or the impedance bridge at the end, right at the antenna feed point itself, which is not always practical. Another way is to get a true electrical half wavelength of coax connected to the antenna and then measure it a half wave electrical wavelength away, and it'll measure the true impedance, because the impedance will be transformed every half wavelength. So that's one way of doing it. Now, another way you can find out if it's a coax transforming, and again, it probably tells you that your antenna is not 50 ohms at the test frequency that you're testing it on. You go up and down the band, you'll see the SWR changing, the impedance will change, and you could fake it so the radio will see 50 ohms by adding the correct amount of extra cable. That's kind of impractical to have to switch in pieces of cable to fake out so the radio sees 50 ohms. So anyway, impedance bridge is a good tool, and you get to learn how to use that, and you can learn a lot about your antenna system that way. Regarding my last project involved building a homebrew interface for automatic band switching of various antennas. Well, I just added another tower, and it will have multiple antennas on it. It has a few now, but it'll have even more. And I have to rebuild, and I just finished redesigning, and I'm now building yet another auto band switching device. With it'll also have A/B switching, so I can switch between the main antennas and their backups. I do have like a 20 meter beam, but the ZS6 BKW will also play on 20, as well as an A3S tri-band beam. So I've got to be able to switch between those, and it'll be controlled by a Wi-Fi switch, so I can remotely tell Alexa to switch my antennas. But it will switch on the band when the radio is switched. The antenna will switch to the correct the switching will switch the antenna to the correct one for the band. Regarding the propagation issue, it does sound like a multipath. It sounds like you're hearing the direct signal plus a signal bouncing off something. It could be the ionosphere. I have noticed this on the higher frequencies. I'll see some oddities, which shows up as an FT8, multiple signals. I've noticed beaming my signal west towards the mountains, trying to work some guys in like FM 19, where I can't quite hear them directly. I can hear them better reflecting off the mountains, but I can also see some signal directly. So you get some multipath off of mountains, bouncing off airplanes. A lot of airplanes will have some shifting Doppler, but it could be the ionosphere also reflecting a signal, combining with the direct signals, making it sound kind of strange. K1HTV. Finally, as far as operations, there are two YLs doing some operating out in the islands, 3D2USU and also 3X5R, who is in Uganda. Two YLs making themselves very popular around the HF bands. This past couple days, worked both KH7FC up on the Skyline Drive and a couple sodas. And I worked a couple lighthouses also. They were active this weekend for Lighthouse Weekend. That's it. Back to you, Mike, and thanks for taking the net. KF4TEK from K1HTV.
All right. Fine business, Rich. Thanks for the comprehensive update. I'll just mention that if you're looking for a way to know that any length of coax is electrically a half wavelength or a quarter wavelength, you can also use your nano VNA for that purpose. If you have a reliably and trustworthy coax source and documented manufacturing specs that supply the velocity factor of the cable, you can get pretty close. But if you want to compare the impedance of your antenna feed point at the end of the cable by eliminating that length of cable from the equation by knowing that it's electrically a half wavelength, you've almost absolutely got to measure it. All right. This is KF4TEK for the FARA Sunday Night Net, and we're up to Garth, K4BOX. How are you doing tonight?
KF4TEK, this is K4BOX. Hey, Mike, I'm doing well. I hope you and everybody else on the net is doing well tonight, too. Good conversation. I don't have any input on the echo or the cable length stuff, but it's been interesting to hear. As far as Brad's question, the last kit that I built, or last thing that I built, was actually the Fox Hunt attenuator. And I've been meaning to pick up a new kit, and actually, based on what you just said, I ordered the Geiger counter kit, because that looks really cool. I was actually just looking at it while you, while the net was going on. So that's going to be my next project, I think. But that's it. Hope everybody's doing well, and hope everybody had a good weekend. This is K4VOX, back to net.
All right, Garth, fine business. Yeah, I do not get a commission on that, sadly. I hope you enjoy it. All right, Bob, KN4SPL, how are you doing?
KF4TEK from KN4SPL in the net. Thanks, Mike, for running the net, and good evening to all. As far as the coax and the antenna topic, I don't have a lot to add to. But as far as the projects I've been working on, or the last thing I've been doing is, I think I've said over the past few weekends, is working on my small antenna farm on the back of the house. Well, I was able to complete all five antennas this weekend and got all the coax to the radios, so all my UHF, VHF, UHF radios are all have their own antennas. All the masses are bonded. All the radios are bonded. Everything's tied up. All the penetrations are sealed, and I can finally relax and be happy that all my radios have their own antennas. So that's been my big project over the past few weekends. I thought it was going to be one day, but it turned out to be 6 days. So I guess that's how it happens sometimes. So that's all I got. K4 SPL back to net.
All right. Well, congratulations on completing. You know, one step forward, eventually you get there. As long as you get there, then you've done good. Kevin, KX4KU, how are you doing?
KF4DK, KX4KU in the net. Good evening, Mike. Thanks again for doing the net. Yes, I'm sure you get what you were thinking in your mind is sick and tired of every Sunday having to do the net. It's understandable. Hopefully people will get with Mississippi and, you know, give it a try. Okay, just a sec. The last kit I built was like somebody else, was the Fox Hunt Attenuator. That was a kit build that I could do, and that was pretty straightforward. As for the, the white CUSA party, that would be fine. I, for whatever stroke of luck, I seem to be able to get the South Pacific pretty good. I've gotten Hawaii a number of times, on FTA and CW, so I don't know what it is about my spot, but, I don't have a problem getting down there too bad, if the conditions are right, of course. I haven't done much amateur radio in the last week. However, I have been playing with the new OP25 release that's in beta, and just having some fun with that. But I'm itching to fire things up again, and I might participate next weekend in one of the CUSO parties just to see what I get. So that's all I have for you tonight. KF4DK, KX4KU, back to net.
All right, very good, Kevin. Yeah, thanks for letting me know about that OP25 stuff. I have not had a chance to do anything at all with it, but it's nice to know that it's out there going forward. So, you know, let us know how it goes. Okay, we're up to John, AK4GG. How are you doing?
Yeah, good evening, Mike, and the rest of the crowd. I certainly appreciate you and Brad doing the nets. I think you've got a wonderful melodious tone to your voice, and it sounds great. As far as kit sets, I've got one balancing on my knee at the moment. So it was an Airband AM receiver that I got off eBay for $35. Comes with the case and everything else. So quite impressive. Just a simple direct RF conversion, and just soldered up the printed circuit board, and then I got it working, and I thought, well, you know, this is all very well. Had pretty low sensitivity, 65 to 100 microvolts thereabouts. So then, of course, I went and found something else to modify it with. This is my way. So it's got a 3089E, which is a popular FM quadrature discriminator chip, mostly used for FM broadcasting, plus my 75 kilohertz. But they also produce it with a crystal that can take it much narrower, more like the 5 kilohertz deviation that we experienced in the AM-band. But anyway, it works pretty well as a monitor for the repeater, so that's basically what I'm modifying it to. It's been sitting here for, I don't know, about 4 or 5 months in its exposed condition with dust resting on it, so that's probably about it as far as it will do. I'm just putting it back over there, so I'll get around to it sometime. Anyway, Nothing else much to report. I'm not sure about the Hawaiian QSO party. I'm not sure if you have to wear a special floral shirt to participate. Richard's dead right with the SWR and the coax. So it's pretty rare that you get an open and a short on the coax. It's not actually a very useful places to go with the transmitter trying to transmit into it. So the SWR tends to vary the impedance. And if it's off resonance, which quite often the antenna is, there'll also be some capacitive and inductive reactance that kind of needs to be tuned out too. So it's quite the mix, and really depends on the length of the cable as to how lucky you are to switch it over at the right place. I don't think a nano VNA is really required for HF. I think you'd probably do it with measuring stick and taking the velocity factor of the cable into consideration, as you mentioned. But certainly up in the higher bands, VHF, UHF, 900 megs, so nano VNA or some VNA or some measuring systems are useful because of the end capacitance and one some other effects. Anyway, nothing much else to report. Back to you. K4TK, K4GG.
All right, John, very good. Thanks for that. And, yeah, I guess it's true. If your wavelength is 160 meters, then a couple inches one way or the other ain't going to make a difference. All right, this is KF4DEK for the Far Out Sunday Night Net, and we're up to WB7RAV. How you doing?
This is WB7RAV. Not doing too bad. Not doing too much on the radio. No projects. No kits, whatnot, so, and I've got another net I need to get onto shortly, so I'll turn it back over to net, WB7RAV out.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, and good luck on your second net of the night. Well, I don't know what number it is, but good luck on your next net. All right, we're up to Gil, KM4OZH. How you doing?
KM4TEK, this is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Mike, and everybody on the net. As far as the SWR on the coax, I have personally replaced a nearly 50-foot length of lossy old coax and replaced it with exactly the same length LMR 400, and the SWR got worse. And so it all required retuning, and I attribute that to the fact that the old coax was covering up the poor SWR and making it appear better than it was. And so that's my personal experience as far as that goes. Let's see, projects. Well, my most recent project is an upgrade of a previous project, and which is my mobile antenna rotator controller and indicator. And my setup on that has been was a series of reed switches in the rotator base with various resistors feeding a micro amp meter. I had just a flashlight battery power in that, and the resistance was fairly low and fairly critical. And that was I thought that was kind of an issue, so I changed that to 5 volts, which upped all the resistances there, but it was much easier to come up with suitable resistors because of variation. You know, 500 ohms didn't really make that much difference anymore. And so that improved that. And then while at Berryville, I bought a meter for my antenna rotator, which was bad, but it had a faceplate in it. Let me grab a nickel. The meter that I bought was defective, but had a good meter plate indicator in it. So I said, oh, well, this is about the right size. So I took that all apart and thought that I'd be able to replace that plate, but it wasn't exactly the same thing. So I took and put it on my copying machine and took a picture of it and cut out the piece of paper and pasted it to the Now, I don't have a piece of masking tape with north, south, east, west, and magic marker on it. It looks like legitimate stuff. So I'm all pleased with that. That's all successful. And let's see, and I recently attended a farm auction and a farm machinery auction, and what did they have there? Was a complete solar panel set up with a weatherproof box and charge controllers and a deep cycle battery in there. Somebody told me that after I bought it for $6, somebody told me, yeah, it was probably used to operate an automatic gate at some remote location. But when I got back here, I checked the name OxBlue on it, and so I Googled that, and it turns out that is a camera surveillance. OxBlue, that's what they manufacture, is solar-powered surveillance camera equipment. Well, I didn't get the camera or anything with that, but I tested all that mess out, and it works at 110 watts, about a 2x3 panel. So I was tickled to death for my $6 purchase. That's all I got going on here. This is KM4OZH, back to net.
Wow, Gil, that sounds like a fantastic deal. Good job. And good work on your meter as well. That was a fun little story. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for joining us. All right, this is KF4TEK for the Far Out Sunday Night Net, and we are up to KO4LLC. How you doing?
Evening, Mike, and everyone on the net. I'm doing well. I'm not quite at the part where I'm building electronic projects, at least. I'm still tinkering up the antenna stuff. I think I finally got to a point where I can break through pile-ups on HF, but beyond that, I don't have much else to add tonight. Just listen and learn. KO4 LLC, back to net.
All right, fine business. Well, thanks for joining us. Definitely appreciate your coming out, and hope that you hear something worth your time. Okay, now we're up to KO4 LUA. Give us the news.
That's KO4 LUA. Projects, latest projects. I built a Raspberry Pi robot. It was kind of fun. I don't know why I built it, but it was kind of neat to build. And I built a adjustable voltage regulator for testing equipment, which is hadn't been used much, but it is a very reliable device. And also the testing on Saturday, I passed my general, so I'm proud of that. That's about it, KO4 LUA.
All right, woohoo! Excellent. I don't have the energy to sound as excited as I should be to congratulate you on your upgrade. That's excellent work. And I'm sure you're looking forward to all of the additional things you'll be able to do and explore. So congrats again, good job, and let us know if you run into any issues, and we're here to help. All right, we're up to Ron, K3FR. How are you doing?
Good evening, Mike. And thank you for your help. This is K3FR. Well, I'm going to start out with a propagation thing, since I was probably the other part of the conversation that got it started. Last week, I worked YSIX up in Newfoundland at about 9 o'clock in the morning. Fairly good signal, 6 and minus 13, which is typical from my location here. But as indicated, signal sounded kind of 6 meters, and it was full copy on FT8, but I had to search back in my memory, and I checked with Rich tonight, and yeah, probably was some auroral curtain reflection there. That was a 2,000-kilometer hop out there, so certainly stretching one hop on for e-skip or long ducting. And there was a little gap fading, not severe. So we're going to put that up as all the time I had heard the signal was on, I think, 20 meters, way down, much, much, much younger, and chasing the X on And I noticed that it with a good a rural section, because I was having much luck on the low band, slipped up to 2 meters, and lo and behold, aurora happening on 2 meters, and I did manage to work out in Indiana from New Jersey and break. So, the watery sound can be probably attributed to auroral curtain. As far as the echo, if you were in the gray line, you had a long path or even circuit long path, variously called LD echoes. Not an unknown for usually our bands than 17. And I haven't heard them, but I've heard of recordings of them and heard stories of them, too. They are a fairly unique propagation experience if you have, if you've ever had it. Some people got 2 second LD at times. As far as my last project, well, wow, that again goes back. It goes back to when they still had solder. As a matter of fact, they used a technique called solder wrap, not wire wrap, but solder wrap, together a hybrid or a function electronic key or keyboard that would generate my serial number for and insert it properly. And take keyboard input and that properly for the call sign. And with the phase lock loop speed controlled from, and even, I won't call it waiting, but it was similar to waiting from 35% up to plus 70% to space wait. And also the case, similar to a AccuKeyer or a Ultimatic, both functions built in. And it was all built using SSI and MSI. I happened to have been working for a semiconductor manufacturer at the time, and so a lot of those materials were available to me at the time. And it worked wonderfully. Worked fantastically. It ran out of four AA batteries and had could key both positive and negative relative to ground. And that made field day a lot of fun. So ARL sweepstakes a lot of fun. So that's the last time I really picked up a soldering iron, other than to build my antenna. But, you know, everybody builds antenna. KF4TEK, K3FR.
Okay, Ron, fine business. Yeah, that sounds pretty neat. I had a thought and it's gone. Sorry. But thanks for joining us and thanks for sharing. All right, this is KF4TEK for the Far Sunday Night Net, and we are up to W4MAF. I'm at the end of my list. How about that? So, if anyone else would like to join us, or if anybody else would like to throw something and throw two more cents on the table and recheck, please call now.
K1HTV recheck.
Recheck.
K1HTV recheck.
This is K1RA.
WDHQCN recheck.
N7BRJ, no traffic.
All right. Before I forget, Ron, the thing I was going to say is that your transmission was dropping out every couple of seconds for just a fraction of a second. I don't know if you had an intermittent PTT, but it sounded something on that order. It was not a fading issue. It was a keying or continuity issue. All right, let's go with K1RA. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening, Mike, and everyone on the net. Yeah, I'll throw in Ron. Maybe you're over-deviating. It sounds like you're got a good signal strength into the repeater. It sounds like on voice peaks or ahs or s's and b's, you're over-deviating and possibly letting the repeater drop. Anyway, let's see. Projects. Probably the last project I worked on was a spot welder. Got an old microwave oven transformer and pulled the several thousand volt secondary. I cut the windings with a Sawzall and put a, I don't know, bot gauge wire through the secondary, probably as thick as my thumb. Made a turn or two and got about 1 volt, I figure at a couple of hundred amps, and I was using that to spot weld some lithium-ion battery packs back together, rebuild the Makitas and some laptop batteries. So that was a fun project. Before that, I guess kind of repurposing some old ATX power supplies into bench power supplies. I sent around some pictures and to the group's IO a month or so back on that project. Not too much else going on radio-wise, but back in the day, I did experience some of those round-the-world echoes, mainly operating from a large, powerful stations like W3LPL up in the Glen Burnie area near Baltimore and Maryland. I was on 15 meters back near the peak of one of the last solar cycles. It must have been somewhere around 2002, 2003. And on CW and on one contest, and I would be calling CQ, and I would let up on the foot switch, and I would hear, you know, dit-dit, or some Morse code on my frequency, of course, running CQs. I'm thinking, well, somebody else is calling CQ on my frequency, so I would wait a few extra seconds and not hear anybody call CQ again and then let up. And for sure, I thought somebody was QRMing me, so I decided, okay, well, let me send a dit. I waited and heard a dit come back, send a da, and hear a da come back about, I'd say it's probably on the order of 100 milliseconds, 250 milliseconds, very short. Never experienced any of the long delay echoes that some of my colleagues have mentioned from back in the 70s, hearing the 2 or 3 second delay on the higher bands. I think those happened during some solar cycle peaks. I don't think, at least the stories I've heard, that it occurred during times like these at the bottom of the cycle. I think it was more near the top. But anyway, fun to hear, especially on voice. It's even more fun to hear a syllable or two come back around the world. You can occasionally hear it on stations in your area if you're hearing a very loud station who has a lot of power. And again, this normally happened around after dinner, maybe probably Gray Line around sunset, hearing people call CQ, especially on CW. You can hear their at least one or two times around the earth their signal coming, of course, fading as it makes the round trip. But, anyway. Back to net control. Have a good night. K1RA.
All right. Thanks very much, Andy. Very cool, interesting stories, and thanks for joining us. I should mention we also picked up K1HTV, WABT, WDAQCN, and 4BRJ, who was in and out. So let's go back up to the top of our recheck list with Rich, K1HTV.
Hey, Mike, this is K1HTV. I was going to just reiterate what you and Andy both said. First thought was that the mic switch was loose, and he was kind of weak on the mic switch, but as I listened to it, as Andy pointed out, it sounds like it's over deviation, and actually swinging the audio out of the passband and sufficiently enough to drop the carry, although I have not heard that before on this repeater. I have heard syllables dropping, but not actual carrier dropping, where the actually RF goes away, where it senses and then you hear the beep. So the test for that would be maybe after the net, run some tests at loud audio and then sort of back off a little bit and talk and see if it happens again. Regarding long delayed echoes, yeah, I can remember in last year's VAQSA party, I believe it was Saturday night at about 11 p.m., we had a magnetic storm, and I was hearing one of the locals, I could hear his direct and his another signal coming back, and then I start calling CQ first, and I, in between the dits, I'm hearing another station. I saw he stop. I figure somebody's QRMing me. I continued again. It came back again, and it turned out to be my own signal. Of course, we're running break-in. You can hear that. You can hear it, and it was quite pronounced, and I heard it on a couple of other locals. I believe Mark K4SO I heard it on, and then it kind of disappeared. It lasted maybe 15 minutes to varying degrees, but it was really strange hearing that that delayed echo. That was happening in probably being going out into one of the very large magnetic bands that goes out from one point on Earth out to space and back down again. Anyway, it was a strange sound. Anyway, that's it. Back to Mike, K4TEK. This is K1HTV.
All right, Rich, thank you very much for that. Moving on to Travis, WABT. Go ahead.
Okay, Mike. Good evening again. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of comment on Ron's issue there with the in and out. I don't know that it was, he didn't sound like he was over deviating to me, because I was going to also hop in and say that I think John, AK4GG, has finally done something I've noticed, because he would normally over deviate a little bit and have some plosives and sibilance, but his signal sounded great tonight, so I think he may have fixed that. But yeah, I don't think Ron was over deviating. And the only time I've heard the repeater drop out was is Mark K4SO with his external tone board, I think he uses. If he would over-deviate, he would get that to happen. But I have to know what Ron is running and what kind of PTT switch he's using. It kind of seemed to me like I had a mic one time where there was a little bit of, fuzz in the actual micro switch, and it would kind of do something similar to that as well. So and maybe he's still hanging around after that. We can maybe try and work it out. But and as to Steve's issue, I was just wondering if maybe he needs to add a turbo encabulator to his station so that instead of the power being generated by the relative motion of conductors and fluxes, it's produced by the modal interaction of magnetoreluctance and capacitive directance. But that's all I've got. WABT, back to that.
Oh, that's a great video. Thanks, Travis. Yeah, I'd be curious to know from the repeater committee if the repeater uses the tone continuously, or once the squelch is unlocked, it will stay unlocked until the input drops. Because if some audio issue is causing the tone to be suppressed or no longer be detectable, then maybe you could drop out in the middle. But if it's the other way, then that would not be possible. So, I don't know. All right, WD8QCN. Go ahead, sir.
KF4TEK in the net, WD8QCN. Well, thanks, everyone, for the excellent feedback on those two questions. I think we're pretty much in agreement on the echo. My thought was, after I ruled that Aurora, was that I was hearing both the long path and the short path, and it was a strong station nearby, so pretty sure that's what was going on there. And then as far as the cable goes, yes, I agree with everyone, impedance transformation on the coax is happening. And I don't know why I didn't see it before, or maybe I had just the right length and had everything tuned on it. There hasn't been much change in the cable setup until today, when I replaced that one section and just kind of moved that switch farther out, and I think that's what did it. So I have played around in the shack here with adding bits and pieces of coax, and it does change the presented SWR at the rig. So pretty certain that's what's going on there. So I guess I just need to go out and retune. I don't know, must be a little off somewhere in all the tunings, and the length of the coax was making it look right at the rig, which was strange because it was pretty much the same on all bands. You know, I got it looking good on pretty much every band except 80 meters. And by the way, 80 meters is the one that didn't really change, and the cable's probably too short to really see much of a transformation. So I think that's what happened. And as far as Ron's rig goes, wondering maybe if he's got a battery issue there. Maybe his battery is right on the edge of being too low to transmit, and he's good for a couple seconds and then it drops.